This is the Rebel Room at LasVegasSun.com. I'm Ray Brewer, along with Mike Grimala, who through thick and thin has been there for every UNLV game this COVID season, football and basketball. And it's been a while for us, Mike, because we haven't been in the same newsroom or podcast room, if you will. And the fans are saying, hey, we want to know your take. What's going on? Where's our next episode? And today we deliver. Mike Grimala, how you been, my friend?
I am good, man. I survived that two-game series in San Jose. I survived watching that. What effect did that have on you, watching UNLV go toe-to-toe and down to the wire with San Jose State at this point in the year?
Okay, so here's how I go about my UNLV watching. Usually the initial part of the game, like say through the first media timeout, so the initial 4 minutes of the game, I let it play out and see what happens. And I go to my phone and I check the box score. And Grimal, what do you think I look for in that box score? Come on. Grimala, what's the only thing that matters?
The score.
Huh?
Score.
No. Did they hit a three-pointer yet? That's all I care about. And then if they haven't hit the three-pointer, I'm like, okay, let me turn it on. Let me keep my fingers crossed, and then we'll go from there. But I usually let them get going. And, you know, obviously the program's not where anybody wants it to be right now. The coach, the administration, the fans, I think they're, what, 10 and 11 overall after sweeping San Jose State. And – It doesn't look pretty. They have some deficiencies, most notably at point guard, right? They don't have a true point guard after Marvin Coleman got injured. He's out for the year. And it's pretty obvious that they're struggling to get organized on offense and to push the ball up the court. And whatever the good parts of their play is, it's only sporadic for a few minutes, because the overarching theory is, oh God. And for me, there was one sequence in that game on Sunday that described it. I think they're up, what, 4 points, Mike, with a minute to go, and they're bringing the ball up the court, and they get a turnover, and San Jose goes in for a layup to make it a two-point game, right? Do you remember that play?
Yes.
And I'm just thinking to myself, you can't hold on to the lead and get the ball up the court against San Jose State. Like, you can't find one person to hold on to the ball at the end of the game. And, you know, that's kind of where we're at. You had an interesting story last week. Can the Rebels peak down the end of the season? And I found that very entertaining, because it had usually on a normal season, you think to yourself, you want to get hot about right now, right? And with this team, I haven't even thought about, can they get hot? Because I can't find a way in my head to where it could happen.
Myself, I'm very much shocked at what I'm seeing from this team at this point in the year. Based on what we saw last year, I thought that TJ Osselberger did a very good job last year as the season went along, finding a way that they could win, identifying it, and then getting the players to play to those strengths. And by the end of the year, they were pretty good. I haven't seen any of that this year. Like, they are not, they don't look any closer to having a formula now than they did, you know, when they got blown out on opening night at home against, was it Montana State? So I'm shocked at the lack of progress that they've made. This was supposed to be an NCAA tournament year for them. Like, they're supposed to make a run to the NCAA tournament with all these players that they had who were supposed to be good. And I know we're talking about, you brought up Marvin Coleman, TJ Otzenberger brings him up a lot too, you know, that they don't have a point guard, but Marvin Coleman shouldn't be the difference between this team being good and this team being bad and a below 500 team. There's got to be some other explanation. So it's been a frustrating year when they've got some talented players and they just haven't been able to capitalize on it, I think.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. I'm going to try to make an excuse. How much does the pandemic play into this? Obviously, they had to pause the program for a few weeks Otzelsberger himself was positive for coronavirus. And did that 2-week pause just get them in the mud to where they couldn't get out?
I don't think so. I don't think you can use that as an excuse anymore just because you've been playing for a couple months now since you came back. And everyone is going through it. Like everyone has had program pauses or positive cases, or if not, I mean, UNLV hasn't had a positive case or a program pause or anything like that for months now. So it's like, if UNLV was the only team dealing with that, then yeah, I guess that would be an excuse, but Utah State is playing during COVID-19 and they're having a great year. Boise State is playing during COVID-19 and they're having a great year. San Diego State having another great year. These are Mountain West teams in the same situation going up against the same challenges, and they're all doing fine. So I can't blame any of you and all these problems on COVID-19. They were 1-4. I mean, they started the season 0-4, you know, and that was before they had any issues pop up. So it's I can't really use that as an excuse at this point. It's the players, it's the coaches, it's what they're doing on the floor that is the problem. I don't think it's anything outside of that.
So at this time last year, Amari Hardy was kind of like their guy, right? He touched the ball in every possession. He led them in shots.
He's one of. I would say Mitru Long was their guy last year at the end of the year. He was their best player. Hardy was up there, was shouldering a big load, though. Yeah, he was probably number two.
So, but Hardy basically transfers out for whatever the reasons are. But one of them was because they had a player, David Jenkins, who was sitting out a year on the transfer, which now that you look at it is comical to sit out a year. And David Jenkins was going to be the guy. Everything was going to run through him. He was going to, you know, light the Mountain West up.
That was supposed to be the dynamic duo. Him and Hamilton were supposed to be unguardable for the rest of the league. Yes.
That hasn't worked out.
No.
Because Marvin Coleman got hurt, or because maybe David Jenkins was more like Cody Doolin?
I think it's probably more that. I think Jenkins has not really lived up to. There were huge expectations on him. I was one of those people who thought he was going to come in and be a first team All Mountain West kind of guy. And I thought he was going to come in, score 20 points, be a good shooter, and just be that guy, be an upgrade. I thought he would be an upgrade over what Amari Hardy was last year. Between him and Hamilton, you were good to go. We haven't seen that. Jenkins, he's not a good defensive player, probably the worst defender on the team, to the point where T.J. Otzelberger had to pull him out of the starting lineup because he's not defending. And in addition to that, you've got Bryce Hamilton, who was first team All Mountain West last year, coming off a great year. He looked like the light went on for him and he figured it out. And then this year, he hasn't been quite the same. Like, he's having good scoring games once in a while, but shooting percentages are down. He's having some really bad games where he's, you know, 6 of 25, stuff like that, which I think he was in the second San Jose State game.
But he's been banged up and he's got a flat tire. And when you get a flat tire, right, a leg injury, it's tough to keep airing it constantly, right?
Maybe, but even so, like, that injury was a while ago. Like, that happened, I think, in January. So it's like, it's been, it hasn't worked out. Like, UNLV thought that Hamilton and Jenkins were the answer, and that was their trump card. And both of those guys have underperformed. And I think that's probably the big issue, is this: they're not getting the production they expected out of pretty much anyone.
So UNLV last played in the NCAAs in, what, 2013?
Yep.
Right? And for a team with that kind of history and tradition, which I care about because I lived through it as a kid and it's important to me, right? And for it having the best facilities in the league, which if you think otherwise, you're crazy, because Thomas and Mack is the best arena in the league. They host the league tournament here every year. Mendenhall Center is a premier practice facility. They've got everything you could ask for. Las Vegas, a phenomenal city. And year after year after year, they're sixth in the league, seventh in the league. Lucky to beat San Jose State. Blown out against Air Force. And am I thinking too crazily to think that this this is not right. I mean, you've got one of the highest paid coaches in the league. You've made one of the biggest investments in basketball in the league. And yet every year you're hovering around 500. I can't figure that out.
That's the big frustration with everyone in the fan base. You know, it's a program that has all the means to dominate their league, like Gonzaga dominates the West Coast Conference. Like UNLV should be number one in the regular season every year. They should have the top recruiting class, which they do most of the time. It just hasn't worked. You know, I do think TJ Otzelberger is a good coach. I just got to question the recruiting on a lot of these guys who are coming in and they're not getting much out of them. Like they've got a couple freshmen who haven't played at all this year. They're recruiting guys who are, you know, 2-3-star kind of guys. When I look at this team and watch them play, they just need guys that can run and jump. Like they are not an athletic team. It's UNLV for so long.
Reminds me a little bit of Bobby Houck, right? Bobby was a great football coach, right? In my opinion.
I don't know about – I wasn't here. I didn't cover Bobby Houck long enough. I just know that
people didn't think that, but I did. I thought Bobby was a good X's and O's football coach, but he recruited at UNLV like he was still at Montana, right? You're looking for a 2-star, 3-star guy that could develop into something. And I think that TJ, at least with his initial recruiting, he's taking guys that he thinks are going to develop into something. Instead of saying, okay, I'm at UNLV, I could go get this 4-star. I could go get Bryce Hamilton. Instead, he's saying, oh, let me take Donovan Yap. He might eat and be able to be something. Or let me go take Jalen Martinez because I saw him hit a 3-pointer from the top of the arc in an AAU game against a team from, you know, I was going to come up with some jimbroni city in the middle of Lincoln, Nebraska. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and it's hard. I don't want to, like, overcorrect. Like, they had a plan, and it looked like next year they had 2 5-star kids coming in. Like, that's the kind of recruiting class they should be having with, you know, Zion Collins, who's would have been a great point guard, and Arthur Kaluma, who's a 5-star, you know, front court, you know, wing scorer. And so it's like they had it, and then it got ruined with the Zion Collins with what he did. Now he's not coming. But yeah, like the talent level just needs to be up. Like, they've got on the recruiting trail. I look at this team and I see guys that are good, solid players, like guys that I would want as my sixth man. Like, if Caleb Grill is your 5th starter or your 6th man, you're a pretty good team. It's like, oh, I'd love Caleb Grill as my 6th man. Or Devin Tillis, I watch him play and I'd go, oh man, it'd be nice to have him coming off the bench for 4 years. Or Abake Jean, he would be an excellent backup big man. I want him to be the 2nd big man, 1st big off the bench. They just have a lot of players like that. Moses Wood, I'd love him as a 6th man. They've got a roster basically full of 6th men when it comes to athleticism and skill set and how they profile. So I guess it's from my number one issue would be they've got to recruit some guys. Like, you need guys that can run, jump, play in the open court, throw down alley-oops, you know, dunk the ball, hit 3-point, like guys that can dribble and drive past you and get to the basket and just overpower you with their skill and athleticism. And I don't see that on the roster. I see, like you said, a bunch of like 3-star guys who are trying to be coached up, and the Mountain West is not a great conference, but it's tougher than that. Like, you need more than that to win the conference. So that's what I want to see out of them going forward.
The one difference, though, is Boise and Utah State have similar talent, right? They started with similar talent.
Utah State, maybe. But they've got Cato, who's better than anyone UNLV has had probably since, I don't know, probably since, you know, Dave Rice in terms of talent. Boise State is a bunch of 5-star blue chip guys who were transfers, but those are guys who are really talented. And Derek Alston developed into, you know, he wasn't a big time recruit, but you see what he is now. UNLV just doesn't have guys like that. Their best is Bryce Hamilton, and he is a scorer who he's flawed. He's a guy who can really only score in the mid range. He can't shoot the 3-pointer. He's not great at finding people on the pick and roll. So it's like, he's really only good at one thing. And it's hard to build a team around that when all your other players are so limited. So that's what I see from them. Like, there's only so many, UNLV, the way that they can win games right now, it's a very narrow path. They have to do, there's only a very narrow way that they can win a game. Whereas Boise State can win a game a bunch of ways. Utah State can win a game a bunch of ways. I don't see that from UNLV. And I think most of it is because of how limited their roster is.
Yeah. And I think the one thing is,
let me ask you this. I guess put it a better way. How many highlight plays has UNLV made this year? If UNLV was somehow a great team and was, you know, getting SportsCenter, when they were on SportsCenter, all their games were covered nationally, how many highlight plays can you remember from this year where guys made great plays? None. Like, no one on this team does stuff like that. And I think that's probably their biggest issue. So that's how I would sum it up. So go ahead.
Well, so they're obviously not making the tournament this year. Is next year win or you're out of a job for TJ Altlesberger?
Ooh, that would be tough. I know Menzies only got 3 years, even though, you know, he did technically, I think, put up a winning record in his final 2 years. Mm-hmm. Because they didn't think he was making enough progress. I think Otzelberger gets the benefit of the doubt because he was hired by Desiree Reed Francois, mm-hmm. whereas Menzies was already here when she got here. So she wanted her own guy. Mm-hmm. I think Otzelberger gets a little more leeway, and a lot of it's going to depend on, he'll get next year for sure. And I think probably at least 1 year after that. But a lot of it is going to depend on what they look like next year. Like, is there reason for hope? Like I said, the year one, they weren't great, but they got better as the year went along and they peaked at the right time. This year, they're not doing that so far. Yeah. Like, that hasn't happened. What happens next year? Do they play well? Do you see sparks? Does Kaluma come in and dominate? Do they add more big time recruits between now and then? There's some variables. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's on the hot seat yet, but they do have to win. Like, they've got to win year three. That's a long time.
Why would you be optimistic about the future of the program?
My opinion would be that I do think they have a good coach. And I think that all the stuff that you talked about, that's intrinsic to the program, you know, the location, the brand, the ability to recruit, you can get big time players here. That stuff gives me hope. If I'm a fan, I do think that the coaching staff is in place. I want to see them recruit at the level I want to see them max out UNLV's recruiting abilities. That's what I want to see. But I do think the coach is in place. I think Otzelberger could win here. But it's got to happen next year or the year after for sure.
Yeah. The ability for the fan base to be patient has expired a few coaches ago. Who from this team will be on the team next year, and what does the starting five look like?
That's a good question. I think it's going to be another big turnover year. I think a lot of guys are going to leave the program, and they're going to bring in a lot of guys just because they had a big freshman class that came in. A lot of those guys didn't pan out. You can already tell, you know, Donovan Yap hasn't played a minute. Jalen Martinez hasn't played a minute. Isaac Lindsay hasn't played a minute. You can only waste so many roster spots on guys who are not going to play for the program. Those guys, I would expect all of them to leave the program. I would expect Otzelberger he's a smart guy. He knows that going into year three, they've got to do something. I would expect him to be very active on the transfer market. There's going to be a lot of transfers out there, guys who are going to be eligible immediately. I would expect him to go heavy after. They need a point guard. They need to upgrade from Marvin Coleman. They need to upgrade from Mbaka Zhang. I would say point guard, big man, two biggest spots they need to upgrade. Jenkins and Hamilton, they're both probably going to leave. So you need scorers. You need guys who can play on the wing. I think the team's going to look very, very different next year. Nick Blake maybe end up being like the only guy who comes back that, you know, played a big role. And Caleb Brill and maybe Moses Wood, like those guys I expect to hang around. The rest of them, you're probably going to have to replace and hopefully upgrade. I think it's going to be another year where it's all newcomers.
What about Mbaka? Is he back? He's eligible to come back, right?
I don't know. He hasn't been asked yet in any of the media sessions that we've had. I know that the coaching staff wants him back. They would take him back if he wanted to do another year. Uh-huh. This is his fourth year. He was recruited. He came here as a freshman. He's going to graduate. as a senior. He's the first four-year UNLV player to graduate since Carlos Lopez Sosa, which was, I think, in 2014 he graduated. So it's been a long time since they've had a guy like Mbaka Jean come through here. Mm-hmm. But NCAA is giving everyone that extra year for COVID. So if he wants to come back, I think the staff would take him back. It just depends, you know, if he wants to hang around for another year.
So you do bring up a good point, though. They've got a legit player in this five-star kid out of Cali. And it's just a matter of, you know, who could they get on the free agent market? You know, because this team is going to mirror some of those teams that Musselman built at UNR, where you're going to have, you're going to have a few homegrown guys, like Coleman is your backup point guard. And, you know, I guess Wood and Grill are both transfers, so that doesn't count. But, you know, those guys is like your seventh and eighth man. And I think you got to just, you know, it's just like building the Miami Heat, right? You get LeBron and Chris Bosh and, you know, Mike Miller, and see if you could make it happen.
Yeah, I think that's what they have to do. It would have been different. We'll have to see how things play out. But right now, it's such a shame what happened with Collins, because he was the linchpin to everything that they had planned. Mm-hmm. And it blows up every plan that they had long term for him to not end up at UNLV. And so now they are going to have to be reliant on bringing in instant guys from outside the program. So, yeah, like I said, point guard, wing, big man, they need instant transfer upgrades at just about every position. So their success is going to depend on what kind of guys they can bring in. They're going to have to recruit their butts off, you know, in the spring, as soon as the season ends and guys start getting in that portal. They've got to strike fast. They've got to identify their guys, and they have to get talent into the program.
Yeah. So there's been some chatter about Otzesberger possibly being on the radar at Iowa State. Seems like a no-brainer for him. Go back home. He's from the Midwest. Start over from scratch and get more pay. What have you heard?
Nothing from Otzesberger about that. Obviously, he's not going to comment on that during the season. I wouldn't expect him to. But it makes sense on the surface. Like, he's from Wisconsin. He's got a couple stints at Iowa State. He's got the stint at South Dakota State. He just strikes me as like that Midwestern kind of guy. I know he's got a lot of recruiting contacts in that area, in that region. And I know there are fans who are like, well, he hasn't won at UNLV yet. Why would Iowa State want him? I think programs like that understand that it's not always 100% about the win-loss record. Like, they know he's been there before. They know that he can coach. So they're sort of projecting him into that role. If there's an opening there, I would 100% expect him to be a candidate. Like, I would expect them to call him and try to get him in for an interview or something. So, yeah, I mean, it could happen. I have no idea at this point, though.
I just think it looks so bad on UNLV if the guy can't win here, because now it's starting to be what's wrong with UNLV, not what's wrong with the coaches who are leading UNLV. Because he's a guy who is a quality coach, so much to where a Power 5 conference school would have interest in him. But at the same time, he can't get out of his way here. He's recruited players that haven't panned out. He's suffered through injuries. You know,
that's Ray Brewer, people. No, that's not, I know our listeners, they hear the pings. That's Ray, not me.
That's me. Yeah.
Don't get mad at me.
Yeah.
No, I hear what you're saying, that like, if he does say he were to get hired at Iowa State, it would basically be that program saying, yeah, he didn't win at UNLV, but that's UNLV's fault. No one wins at UNLV. We don't blame him for that. So it would definitely have that kind of vibe to it if that happened.
Yeah. And I mean, UNLV, you could argue, is in this position because of self-inflicted wounds. You know, would they, if they let Marvin come back for a fourth year, would they have made the tournament last year?
Say that, what do you mean?
If Marvin wasn't
Marvin
fired. Menzies.
Marvin is Marvin Coleman to me now, but Marvin Menzies. I don't think they would have made the tournament. I think they would have had a good year. They had some guys that were prominent, you know, they had Hamilton, they would have had Joel Tomboy for another year. they would have been good. Like I could have seen them, you know, picked fourth in the Mountain West and then, you know, finish fourth or third or something like that. But I don't think they would have been like, it probably would have ended where last year's team ended up ending anyways, you know, first, second round of the Mountain West tournament, something like that.
Yeah. I just think that something's got to give. And, you know, if it doesn't work out with Otzeberger, either after this year, if he does go to Iowa State, or in 2 years, if he stays, you got to ask yourself, where do you go? You know, because you also got to consider now, because of the COVID closures, you've lost a lot of revenue, and what kind of money is going to be out there to get a coach? And you've overpaid for football, right? And basketball is a top-end salary as well. You know, what kind of money is out there for you to invest in your programs?
Yeah, and it's I don't know. It's just, it definitely seems like, how much do you think it? It's hard to say, because Otzeberger and, you know, the situation that the program was in, I give him credit for last year, but this season they should be. I feel like they should be better. I look at their roster. I know I just spent, you know, 20 minutes saying how they're full of, it's a roster full of sixth men, but they should still be better than they are right now. So I don't know what you do after. Like, you've tried pretty much every archetype of coach. You've tried like the big time recruiter, first time coach with Dave Rice. You tried the veteran who's a proven winner and at the lower levels, and Marvin Menzies, a guy who's been around forever and won before, and tried elevating him to a new, a higher level of conference, and he couldn't bring that with him. TJ Otzeberger is like the young, hot name that was, he's one of those, he's a young coach. He had a ton of success at his previous stop, like instant success playing modern basketball. Like, he's the hot, modern, young coach. They tried that. If that doesn't work, I don't know what you do. Like, the only other type left would be the, like, a proven, like, you find some guy that's 55, that's won at a higher level, that's a proven winner, and you just give him a ton of money to turn your program around. But I don't know if you and he's in a position to do that.
I mean, there's a guy like Charlie Spoonhauer, right? You could get a guy who has got 5 or 6 years left in his career, who's a good X's and O's guy, who is going to put a quality product on the field, and maybe you get hot and go to the tournament once.
Or you could go after like someone that's been scorned. Like, you could get a winner who you kind of have to hold your nose. Like, you could get a Rick Pitino or a Greg Marshall or someone like that, and say, like, we're going to win. You know, it's probably not going to be pretty behind the scenes, but we'll win. Like, I would have been okay with them hiring Pitino, like, if they wanted to do that.
Yeah. See, I wouldn't have been, and not, yeah, my morals are better than yours. But just because, he already kind of screwed us over once, right? And, you know, I don't think anybody wanted him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm just saying, yeah. But you see my point. It's like they've tried all these other types of coaches. These are some of the other ways you could go. You could get a Greg Marshall type who's ran off his last job because of stuff he was doing, or Larry Eustace or someone like that who you'd never want anywhere near your program with a 100-foot pole. Some, you know, coach, some disgraced former coach that you know you're going to win, but this baggage comes with it. That's a type you could go after. But it's still a long way away. I think Otzeberger gets next year, another year at least after that. So four years is probably, you're going to want to see an NCAA tournament berth. But I do think he gets dinged by this year, because I don't think they're as good as they should be.
Yeah. Yeah. So football, obviously another problem. Coming off an 0-6 season, a lot of players transferring out. Roster is going to be flipped over, of course. Have we lost a little faith in where the football team's heading? Because we agree. We thought Marcus was a slam dunk of a hire, right? Good recruiter, young guy, proven offensive coach.
I don't know if it was a slam dunk, just because he'd never been a head coach, so you never really know until you give someone that job. But they've been recruiting well. Like, they've got a couple highly ranked recruiting classes now. What they put on the field this year was not impressive in the least, but I give football more of a COVID excuse than I do for basketball, because football came first. It was still up in the air. So many things were in, out, some players opted out. The season was canceled, then it was back on. Mm-hmm. And it's just they didn't have a quarterback. They still don't have a quarterback on the roster. It looks like that's going to, be the guy. So mm-hmm. I give football more of an excuse for 2020 than I do the basketball team. So Arroyo could still, there's still a chance that he works out as a coach, I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't love their offense last year. And I get it. It was a product of just not having enough players. I mean, they had zero wide receivers last year. Kyle Williams turned out to be a good player, but they couldn't. I mean, they got no quarterback right now that's got any experience. So it's, when Tony left, I thought, Mike, they were on the verge of reaching a bowl, right? They were winning 4 and 5 games a year. And now I don't feel, I thought it'd be a quick flip with Arroyo coming in. And I don't know if that's the case anymore.
I don't think it's going to be quick because, like I said, quarterback, huge question mark. I don't know where the roster stands. Like, they're relying on so many new recruits. Like, you need a year to see where that first recruiting class stands, like, which will be the 2021 season. And then another year after that for this past recruiting class. So, I mean, 3 years. He's got next year, then the year after that. And then you should see some significant progress. Like, year three, if it's not showing up by then on the field, then you've got problems. But 2020, it pretty much write it off. I think during the season, I was really discouraged by what I was seeing. They didn't look like a well-coached team at all. Mm-hmm. But now that there's been some distance between now and then, I look back and I think, what were my expectations for Marcus Arroyo in that situation in his first mm-hmm. year? 0-6, no one likes that. There's no way to spin that as good. It was a terrible year. But mm-hmm. I don't think it's a total condemnation of him as a coach. We'll see what he can do here. I think this will be we'll learn more about him as a coach in 2021, see what he can do. Given a more normal offseason, it looks like the offseason is going to be pretty normal in terms of workouts and all that stuff. So I think you'll get a better gauge of whether he's the man or not to lead the program. You'll see that this year.
Yeah, I just don't know how many more years UNLV could go without an NCAA tournament berth or a bowl game. We go back to facilities and cities and Wyoming shouldn't be going to a bowl game every year. You know what I'm saying?
It's the fact that UNLV hasn't gone to the NCAA tournament in 7 years, 8 years. That's astonishing. Like, you almost have to try to be that irrelevant for that long at UNLV. Like, this program should be doing much, much better than that. You can't miss the you can't miss the tournament 8 years in a row. You can miss it, maybe once per class. So like once every 4 years. If you're mm-hmm. recruiting a kid to UNLV, you should be able to tell them, hey, we're going to be in the NCAA tournament 3 out of 4 years at the least. So the fact that they can't get there and that it's like this huge impossible hurdle to crack, it's just – there's something wrong.
This is the 30th anniversary of the 91 team, right? So the greatest team in NCAA history, right? Obviously, they didn't get it done, but they were undefeated, had 3 lottery picks or whatever, right? And since that year, they've been to the tournament 6 times, right? Twice with recruit or whatever. I think 6 times. I might be wrong. So either way, I guess we've complained long enough, Mike. So we appreciate everybody's support, and we're going to try to do a few more of these in the next month or so, right?
We're going to leave everyone on. They haven't made the tournament and they've made it 6 times in 30 years.
Well, I got a meeting, so I'm trying to get a little aggressive to get her done. Yeah, but no.
Wrap it up.
I think there is hope. I mean, we agree that Altsberger is a good X's and O guy, but you might be a good baker, Mike, and I might be a good cook, but you're not making those beignets that I love without flour. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you, man.
Yeah, Altsberger got no flour right now.
They got to get some McDonald's All-American types in here. Yeah.
He's trying to make a cake with no flour, and that's tough. He's making, yeah. So for Mike, I'm Ray. We'll talk to you guys soon.